At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, welcome to Why Not Mint Money. I'm Sathya Suntanam from Mint's personal finance team. In this episode, let's delve into the important financial aspects NNRI, non-resident Indian, needs to consider before returning to India for retirement after spending a significant amount of time abroad. I have invited Kalpesh Asher, a SEBI-registered investment advisor, who is also a certified financial planner at Full Circle Financial Planners and Advisors. He had experience in helping out his NRI clients to have a smooth transition of coming back to India for retirement. He's going to share his expert advice on navigating the complexities of managing finances for a returning NRI. Let's invite him.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Hello, Kalpesh. Hi, how are you doing?
All good, Satya. Thanks for having me.
Great. Kalpesh, I personally believe, having a financial planner, to manage our investments. When someone is taking a big decision of coming back to India after living in and abroad for a long time, I think the need is enormous of having a financial planner. Tell us, why is it important to engage with a financial planner before coming back to your home country, India, after being a non-resident Indian for a long time?
Yeah, so first of all, that's great to hear that, you require a financial planner, and the importance of a financial planner cannot be undermined. So obviously, that's a big resounding affirmation. Thanks for that. Now, coming back to this topic which we are discussing, Satya, is that, whenever there is a transition or a homecoming for an NRI back to India, it's a lot of factors have to come into the picture here. Apart from obviously the relocation, which is physical, there is the relocation of the finances, there is the relocation of the family, there is the relocation of your emotions, and also your social structure and fabric changes. So it's very necessary that you are prepared for it. And on all aspects, you would need a helping hand. And coming back to this topic, when you have a financial planner, we all know that a financial planner looks at the holistic well-being of an individual's finances, being an NRI or be it a resident Indian. It becomes imperative that because there are so many factors which involve relocation and coming back, a financial planner would be equipped better if he and the client both are in association for a good amount of time before this major decision is taken by the individual who wishes to come back, because there's a lot of groundwork, a lot of research, a lot of actions which need to be taken in order that the transition is as smooth as possible. Obviously, there would be some last moment hiccups which can be tackled, but most of it can be handled if primarily there is a good association, good amount of time in advance when this planning is done.
Sure. So practically, what can go wrong? Can you give some examples?
Yeah, sure. So what can go wrong is, in fact, I would have handled around 3 to 4 clients of mine in this. And fortunately, they had been associated with me for a decent amount of time when they were planning for this. But what could go wrong is, I've also had cases where, people voluntarily or, out of no choice have to, make a decision of coming back very, very quickly. Now, what that happens is, in a couple of cases was that they decide to say that, okay, I'm coming back to India and there are many other things on my mind I need to prepare. And least of all, they would be thinking about their investments in India, or they would be thinking on obviously on other aspects of assets of their life, like the children's education or their house, which they would stay in. And finance would not be on their uppermost thing about the investments they have made back home, wherever they are staying outside India, or in India when they come back. Now, this throws the apple cart completely haywire, because then when they are just having a month or two before planning, they really don't look at their finances. And once they land up here, they are in complete, I think, bewilderment that, what is to be done about my contingency fund? What about other aspects of my investments here? Who's going to handle my taxation? And so on and so forth. And it probably puts the investment portfolio also in a peril, because there would be some hasty decisions taken. Apart from that, there could be some unavoidable situations where, people are serving a job abroad and there is a summary dismissal and they have been, fired, or they have to leave the job, where practically there is no option and they have to leave the country, say, within a 2 or 3 weeks notice period, and they have to land up here. Now, that's unavoidable, and then we have to face it as it comes.
Sure. In this podcast, we want to specifically focus on about NRIs that are coming back to India to retire in India. Unlike a very big decision of coming back to India because there is a firing happened in the company that a person is working in abroad. Unlike that, retirement planning is a very planned thing. So do you think investors or the individuals have to be in touch with a financial planner long before they come to India?
Yes, obviously, Satya, that's a very, very important point which you mentioned. Now, retirement planning obviously has to be thought about in a very measured and a very, systematic way. So as I was telling, that it's better if the planner and the individual who plans to come back are in sync and well associated before this major decision is taken. Because there are many steps to which, this retirement planning aspect has to be covered so that the transition is as smooth as possible. First of all, let's point out a case where, as soon as the person decides to call it a day, wherever he is abroad, he has to also look at the repercussions his investments would have accordingly. And in all probability, he would have investments done locally wherever he is residing outside India, and globally as well. Now, the point is that because he's not going to reside in that country anymore, and as per his situation, which the planner knows well in advance, ideally, the situation would be that he would want to transfer those assets or those investments into India. As and when, so prior to his coming or gradually when he lands up here, those investments are in liquid form, that the money is received in India. This has to be done in a gradual manner there. And obviously each investment, again, like our Indian investments, has its, pros and cons. Those have to be measured. The planner has to give his advice on that as well. And as per the liquidity or as per the clauses of those investments, they have to be gradually dispersed back to India. And also there would be a major chunk of his money which he would receive as, from his company where he's working, as a final, termination or final leaving the company dues, which any individual would get. Plus, he would also need to keep money for his sustenance in the last 2-3 months or 6 months period back home in wherever he's residing, and then accordingly transfer money back to his NRE or NRO account in India. So it's a very delicate process. It has to be done in sync with an expert, and the money has to be channelized back to India. So that is the first stage which we have to see.
Can an individual do all this process by himself or herself?
So again, it goes to that concept which is commonly known as a DIY. Now, because I said that everybody is not an expert in this, many people do it on their own, but it is not structured, honestly speaking. And also, please, let's not forget that apart from transferring your funds and looking at your investments, there are a host of other things an individual has to attend when he's leaving that country for good and retiring and coming back to India. So like I mentioned, that when he comes back to India, he obviously would look at his place of residence in India. Now, whether he already has a house in India, is his family already residing in India, or are the husband and the wife in, say, a foreign land and both of them are coming back here? Does he have to stay on rent back home in India? What would be the, you know, concept of how would he be able to manage the initial period without a regular income in India? What would he be doing to generate a regular source of income? So the point is, there are many questions lurking in his mind, and given on top, what about his existing investments? He surely needs a professional helping hand to channelize his investments in a proper manner. And more importantly, from the place where he decides to remit that money into India for the purpose of his retirement planning, done immaculately. So we don't have to take hasty decisions after that when his retirement is on course.
Yeah, well put, Kesh. So as you said, when a person is moving to India, that person might hold some investments both in abroad as well as India. So the review of these assets when somebody is planning to completely move to India is something very important. So what are the key points that you would look at, or you would ask investors to look at when they are moving to India about these investments that are lying outside?
Yeah, so again, it becomes very, very necessary that a conversation takes place, you know. So for example, in some cases, these funds parked outside India could be for a particular reason. So for example, many people's children could be studying abroad, you know, so, and they would have parked their money to take care of their education. The education probably is still continuing, so those funds would continue to be useful for him outside India. Now, those investments in that case then cannot probably be touched, and the remaining investments have to be looked at. Apart from that, there could be investments abroad also done in real estate, which could take a, you know, lot of time to liquidate. And like, real estate is a global phenomenon, doesn't liquidate immediately anywhere in the world, you know, unlike financial assets. So that purpose also has to be seen. Then there could be a case where, contrary to that case, where all the requirements or goals of that person have been met, and he now needs to just simply liquidate all those investments and get it back to India. Now, whether those investments which are made abroad, like, again, financial investments have their own peculiar features. Are they under a lock-in period? Or is there a taxation element which he has to fulfill before he can get that money here? So various aspects have to be seen. And obviously, all financial planners based in India are not experts of global investments. That's a disclaimer. Okay, so he might have to take the help of somebody locally also on a parallel basis to clear that base, that aspect, get the money into his account there, and then remit it back to India. So that completes that process of how he will bring it, whether he brings it at one shot, whether he does it gradually, whether he gets part of it when he's already in India and money still trickling in. So various reasonings have to be done, and a purpose has to be kept for that.
And when it comes to investment planning, what would be the next step? Once they come to India, you know, a few might come to India to settle here without any work. So that particular individual might be in need of a regular income.
As we say in financial planning, Satya, that it's a personal financial plan, and there is no thumb rule which, you know, is one size fits all. So every client's requirement, purpose, and story is different, you know. So first and foremost, on return to India, what is necessary is we have to, at least while he's here or even when he's there, a certain, you know, type of a spade work, or an early homework needs to be done about what could be his prospective cash flow. That needs to be understood very, very importantly. So cash flow is nothing but your projected expenses versus your probable sources of income from his existing investments, which could emanate, and that needs to be reviewed. Now, once that is done, the following things which we need to do is, first and foremost, is keep a contingency fund, because his requirements, his expenses, his needs will start from the next day or the same day he lands back in India. So he could be having all these expenses to meet, and there should be a sufficient corpus kept separate, okay, to meet that immediate expenses. Now, those expenses which are there could continue for the next 3 to 6 months or 9 months till a regular source of income doesn't, you know, come up. So a contingency fund is necessary. Second is, there should also be very important, is a bifurcation of short-term goals and retirement corpus has to be maintained. So investments have to be channelized accordingly. So something in the short term which he has to accomplish once he lands back in India, investments have to be kept according to those investment products. Similarly, if you're creating a retirement corpus and he needs a regular source of income, the product bifurcation has to be done accordingly. Then, like what you rightly said, is that very important that some people might be wanting to rework. So he has to again scout for a job, a source of profession which he needs to pick up, and he needs to survive that period till his car is back on track. Okay. So that expenses, he has to keep a buffer or a contingency fund before he starts earning again in whatever he wishes to do here post coming back to India. Other important part is health insurance. I think that is very, very primary, because you don't know when, you know, an illness is lurking around the corner, and the moment, God forbid, you land in India, you or your family are ill or hospitalized and you don't have a health insurance cover. And amidst all this tensions which you are already going through, a hospitalization is the last thing, and illness is the last thing any individual need. So keeping yourself equipped with an adequate health insurance cover prior to your coming to India, your families and yours, I mean to say, is of utmost importance, and a sufficient one at that. And also, you also need to take a help of a chartered accountant, probably once you are a bit settled down here in India, because then your tax implications also need to be looked at in tandem with your financial planner.
Salvesh, medical cost is one of the important points to talk about. And the concept of insurance is universal. You also mentioned about the point, but say someone is coming at a very older age and they must have bought an insurance outside India already. But since they're old, they came back to India, they may not get any insurance here in India. So how do you go about in such cases? Because in India, most insurers do not actually give insurance if an individual is above 60 years. I don't say they won't, but it gets a bit difficult.
Yeah, so again, two things could happen, Satya, here. One is that, if the association between the individual or the planner is for a long time, any discreet planner would advise that person has a parallel insurance running in India before this retirement phase sets in, you know, whatever period, and take a chance that his health insurance is covered here. So that could continue, because this person ultimately at some point of time or with his family could land back here. Now, that is a little bit of forward thinking. Not everyone does it, but it is a possibility, and ideally I would suggest it should be done. Now, in case if that is not done, and like what you rightly said, many people are at the age of 60 or 65 or 55 to 65, they would land up in India, and getting a fresh health insurance for them would be very difficult. The best thing to do is to provide a larger net or a larger corpus of health insurance, contingency fund kept as health insurance for them, because there is no two ways that in case if there is a illness or something, they will need immediate amount to take care of that contingency. So there has to be a planning done, and that amount has to be then probably kept increasing as health issues grow or as an individual age keeps popping up.
Yeah, sure. Because of the foreign exchange rate, Kalpesh, do you think building a corpus, retirement corpus by an individual abroad is much easier than building a retirement corpus sitting in India. What has your experience been like talking to clients?
So there are two things. Now, again, in financial planning, we always address the issue of purpose and goals. Okay. So like what you said, that if a person has the bandwidth or the wherewithal or the capacity to invest, there is no harm that he builds up a corpus simultaneously abroad as well. And that is like a parallel, corpus which is being built apart from the corpus in India. He can't say that my entire retirement corpus is being built abroad or it's entirely built in India if it has the bandwidth. Many people, what you're saying is a very rare case where people have provided for their retirement abroad also due to the exchange rate fluctuation or something. That case is there, you are right. But many people would then probably try to build up a retirement corpus in India itself, because that is where they ultimately want to reside. And also there is a certain level of comfort they would want psychologically when the money is seen in India for them. Because again, like, you know, we addressed the first point that money which has been staying abroad when they are retired at some point of time would be growing abroad, but it has to be brought back to India as well. So there is no harm in keeping a retirement corpus abroad. Foreign exchange rate, yes, it's a important thing, but again, a person's individual capacity to whether he's capable to invest in both the places needs to be seen and reviewed.
Got it. Also, Kalvesh, finally, can we also talk about a few operational aspects that an individual has to take care of soon after he or she lands in India?
Yeah,
maybe
true.
With respect,
I think, very
to bank
important
accounts. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So absolutely, I would like to address that. So let's not forget that once a person lands in India, as per the laws of the land of, NRIs, pertaining to NRIs, is that he has a period of 182 days after he lands in India that his non-resident status is yet maintained out here. And there is a very practical chance that this person has his investments in India, like a bank FD, NRE bank FD, which are tax-free, which is one of the best, you know, mediums of investment for NRIs, continuing here. So he has that 182 days period for him to, convert his existing non-resident accounts, NRE or NRO, to resident accounts, which is as per the law. But there is also a leeway that given, and the government understands, the taxation authorities understand, that existing investments need not be broken or, you know, prematurely taken out if that non-resident status is yet continuing. Once it is over the tenure of that deposit or that investment per se, he has to then put it into the resident account. So that leeway is there of 182 days. So ideally what a person should be doing is changing his bank account status from NRE, NRO to resident. Then in due course of time, all his India-based investments, be it his mutual fund or DMAT and all those things, insurance policies, changing his status from NRI to the resident status. And obviously we know the NRIs are under the FEMA and the IT laws. In consultation with his CA, always try to be on the right side of the law and within the stipulated period. Because again, the CA, why I mentioned, is necessary here, because there could be many clauses where he's continuing his investments there and there should be no questions asked. But if done with a consultation of a CA, because he's the person who's answerable on the individual's behalf, things would be smoother. Obviously, the planner, the financial planner, is always there by his side, hand-holding him to do the right things. But as far as these taxation things go, I would always suggest that a CA is better to be having on your side, because there is a major paradigm shift which has happened for that particular individual.
Absolutely. And these are very important points that you touched upon about what NRI is planning to come back to India has to take care of. Thanks for sharing your views, Kalpesh. That's all from our side today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's all for now in this episode, listeners. If you have any queries or suggestions, you can reach out to me on Twitter. My handle is @SatyaSontanam, S-A-T-Y-A-S-O-N-T-A-N-A-M. Or you can also write to us at mintmoney@livemint.com. Bye-bye.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
HD Smartcast.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.